This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of January 28th, 2018. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this episode, regular features such as the Is It Just Me commentary, Around the Rim, headlines from around the Pacific Rim, Cascadia Calling, headlines from around the Pacific Northwest. The big deal feature this week, the BC Liberal leadership race. Is it peaking or is it going over the edge? And The Breaker will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those who made a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or is former British Columbia Premier Christy Clark lying again about being a champion of women's rights? Clark always liked to be at the center of attention. Last week, she went to Facebook and attached herself to the Me Too movement. She claimed that during her years in politics, she witnessed plenty of, quote, frat boy behavior. But those in BC liberal circles know that Clark was fond of partaking in sorority girl behavior. Did Clark really make a difference in the lives of women in BC? Or did she simply prove that women can be as deceitful in politics as men? She only forced her chief of staff, Ken Bosenkuhl, to quit in 2012 after a reporter started asking about a case of sexual harassment at a Victoria bar after a golf tournament. Women with disabilities were among those whose bus passes were cancelled a year before the 2017 election in an unnecessary cost-cutting measure. Assistant Deputy Minister of Health Lindsay Kislock and investigator Wendy Taylor contributed to defamation lawsuits and even a suicide. Did Margaret McDermott, when she was health minister, deserve to be the one to peddle the lie about the RCMP investigation that wasn't? Did Christy Clark ever call Rod McIsaac's sister, Linda Kayfish, to say she was sorry? Women scared to travel the Highway of Tears in northern BC had to wait even longer for safe public transit, while political aides in Clark's administration triple-deleted documents. So who really got ahead during Clark's time in office? Well, here's a few names you might recognize. Rich Coleman, John Dybul, Dan Doyle, Neil Sweeney, Patrick Kinsella, Mark Marison, Brad Bennett, Bob Rennie, Peter Wall, Francesco Aquilini, and Greg Kerfoot, to name a few. They all have one thing in common, and I'll let you guess what that is. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim, where we look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. First stop in Hong Kong, in the South China Morning Post, Jake Vanderkamp reports, money laundering and the fuss over ATM withdrawals in Hong Kong. Hong Kong banks have been hit by an unprecedented $20 billion per month, or $3.15 billion Canadian dollar per month, surge in suspicious ATM withdrawals, exposing a loophole that could deal a blow to Beijing's battle against illicit capital flight via its notorious underground banking system. What we have here is hard evidence of the money laundering heart of our economy. This is mainland money cleaning itself up in Hong Kong, either on its way abroad or returning to the mainland, and wanting to pretend that it is all foreign investment. In the Mexico Daily News, quoting from Reforma and Acoustic Noticias, Chiapas media outlets call on mayor to pay. Media outlets have laid off staff because Mayor Fernando Castellanos has not paid for advertising in more than a year. Leticia Hernandez Montoya of the newspaper Espresso Chiapas said there are formal legal advertising contracts with the municipality. She said the Ecological Green Party mayor had agreed to pay the money owing in November and December, but failed to do so. Castellanos drew criticism earlier this month after he took a holiday to Canada, to Whistler to be exact, in December while leaving municipal staff waiting for unpaid year-end bonuses. And finally, in the Straits Times, meet Singapore's parkour aunties. Tan Tam May reports that 64-year-old Ann Tham ditched her trolley cart and now walks unaided thanks to the sport of parkour. The retired graphic designer practices twice a week by twisting through railings, balancing off edges, and rolling on the ground. Parkour coach Tan Shi Boon of the Move Academy said it is rare for people Tham's age to try parkour because they are supposed to be the most afraid of this sport. It can be dangerous, but done properly, basic movements provide functional training, helps improve strength, stability, and mobility on a daily basis. That's Around the Rim for this week on the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling, where we look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Haida Gwaii Observer, Andrew Hudson reports, Port Council makes another call for cell phone service. 12 years after regular cell phone service launched elsewhere on Haida Gwaii, Port Clements is still out of the loop. We definitely need cell phone service, says Mayor Urs Thomas. It's economic development, it's safety, it's building on tourism, and it's 2018, you know. Port Clements Council wrote the federal government and provincial and federal politicians. Their letter said it could have helped recover a missing person in 2015, and cell phone service could be critical in case of tsunami. TELUS told council that infrastructure for basic voice and text service could cost $500,000. In the Oregonian in Portland, I nauseated. The Oregonian's ex-sports columnist J.E. Vader nails what Tonya Harding's movie gets wrong. He wrote that the FBI investigation found that it could have been worse when Nancy Kerrigan was attacked in Detroit. Jeff Galuli revealed that there were discussions of killing Kerrigan or cutting her Achilles tendon. Vader writes that I, Tonya, treats Kerrigan as comic relief. The movie crowd burst out laughing for Kerrigan's brief appearances on screen. But my stomach was turning. Tonya is shown smoking many times in the film and in the promotional posters and videos to portray her as different or a rebel or cool. But for an asthmatic athlete to smoke is simply profoundly stupid. The film skates over the asthma thing. Harding has changed her story over and over in the past 24 years, but it's always that she is a victim and everyone else is horrible. She is habitually truth-challenged. This fantasy film is Harding's dream come true. It's difficult to see Harding on red carpets and magazine covers, fawned over by movie stars and filmgoers who condemn the media for being unfair to poor little Tonya. But we live in a world where people line up for selfies with O.J. Simpson and heavyweight rapist Mike Tyson, where vaccines are said to be harmful for children and global warming is a hoax, and where the president tells Whopper lies several times a day. Why shouldn't Tonya Harding be a new folk hero? Oh, but I will say the costumes in I, Tonya are spot on. Very well done, those costumes. And finally, in the Bellingham Herald, as movie rental stores disappear, one group wants to keep its collection in Bellingham, by Dave Gallagher. Crazy Mike's is closing its Bellingham movie rental store, and that means the last big collection of hard-to-find movies falls to the Film Is Truth store, which is turning itself into a non-profit. A fundraising campaign is halfway to the $18,000 goal. Film Is Truth has more than 19,000 titles at the Bellingham Public Market. It boasts some movies that aren't available on streaming services like Netflix. Anna Wolf, the board president of the organization behind Film Is Truth, said the community understands the value of keeping physical media available. Village Books and Henderson Books are examples of people knowing that not buying everything online does have its benefits. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for the big deal. This week, the BC Liberal leadership election.
This is going to come to an end. And all the buttons have to come off, and all the scarves have to be packed away in the tickle trunks. And we got to stand together as one strong, united BC Liberal Party, and I tell you, that's what we're going to do. Thank you.
The BC Liberal Party will choose a new leader on February the 3rd. And with all the talk of renewal, the six-person race features Todd Stone, the old ICBC minister, Andrew Wilkinson, the old lobbyist and old Gordon Campbell crony who was also the old Minister of Propaganda under Christy Clark, the old Minister of Health and Minister of Finance, Mike DeYoung, Michael Lee, the old lawyer for Crown Corporations whose campaign is managed by Mark Marison, the old husband of the old premier, Sam Sullivan, the old Vancouver mayor, and Diane Watts, the old Surrey mayor. Their last debate, moderated by Global TV's Keith Baldry, was January 23rd, and sparks flew as the opposition party's infighting and animosity for the only caucus outsider, Diane Watts, erupted in public view. DeYoung and his hecklers took on Watts.
And I know you were the former Minister of Forestry, and you're well aware
Thank you.
Of some of the issues.
Diane,
I understand exactly what you said. And you know what? The fact of the matter is that I am not an expert in softwood lumber negotiations, and nor do I pretend to be. And you know what? The issue has to be resolved. There's no doubt about that. And all
okay,
of the
my,
issues
my,
dealing
my
with
turn,
the
my turn now, Diane.
Have to be.
Feel free to jump in. Your turn for a moment.
You know what? We're not going to play gotcha politics here, Mike.
The dispute,
you know,
the
at
dispute
the end
Diane,
of the day,
is
there
30 seconds, and if you're both speaking, you're not.
Diane, I'm going to let you talk because maybe we'll get an answer at some point.
There are issues that need to be dealt with. You know what? There are, and you can stop playing gotcha politics as well. So you know what? At the end of the day, there are issues that have to be dealt with.
Michael Lee challenged the other Mike DeYoung, on his suspicious claim that he didn't use email while in government.
But in a published story last year, you said that you don't use email or a smartphone because, to quote, modern life can go to hell. My question, Mike, is how can we expect a leader who spent so much time or effort avoiding the digital world to lead us into a digital future and broaden our appeal?
Michael, I'm gonna give you a ride in my 26-year-old standard car, a standard transmission car, and take you down to my technology center. Michael, you have now had an opportunity to see how government works. You know how documents are provided. To suggest, however, that as finance minister, I wasn't either able to take advantage of technology or saw the merits of technology. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the support we gave the aerospace sector technology while I was finance minister.
Andrew Wilkinson slammed Todd Stone for Stone's record as the Minister of Transportation who hid the truth about ICBC's suffering finances from taxpayers.
No, I'm quite happy, Todd, to defend my record of representing all of British Columbia, where there's a 25 institution of advanced education.
You know, a few years in Kamloops when you were a little boy.
Never brought a single problem.
Doesn't constitute understanding the interior.
All right,
thank you.
I think you know that this is a millstone around our neck, and a couple of these files were actually moved off your desk when they didn't make progress, TransLink and taxis. And you're a good man. I've enjoyed working with you, but I really worry how we're going to work through the politics of that with you as our leader. We're going to have to go to the people in those 10 ridings and say,
the way we're going to
the leader, how's that going to work?
30 seconds. The way we're going to work through this is the leader is going to be authentic. The leader is going to be someone that's believable and credible in every community across this province, as much in Williams Lake as in Yale Town in Vancouver.
You mean like me?
I am not trying to be someone I'm not, Andrew. Hint, hint.
DeYoung, later in the debate, attempted to counter Michael Lee, but backfired.
And we'll now go to Michael DeYoung.
Mike Lee, I got a question for you. Actually, I thought about emailing it to you.
Can you? Embrace the technology, Mike. Embrace it.
But I'll share it. I'll share it with the rest of the crowd.
And later, Wilkinson and Stone and Stone and Wilkinson dealt each other verbal jabs.
Get out there,
Andrew,
and build housing.
I'm afraid to say that your timid and tired platform,
well,
which
Todd,
does not reflect investments
timid, but
that people in the lower mainland
time,
is not going to
you
win
are,
us the next election.
You are trying
we have got to
copy
address
Justin
the concerns
Trudeau
that British Columbians have
into
here in Metro Vancouver
time,
and across the province. Sticking your head in the sand is not going to win the next election, Andrew.
Thank you.
Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the Vancouver police detectives who finally solved a gangland hit that made worldwide headlines 6 years ago. Hell's Angel Larry Amaro was arrested in Ottawa, charged with conspiracy to commit 2 murders, and will be transferred to Vancouver. It was shocking enough that one of those, the slaying of Sandeep Dure, happened inside a restaurant at the Sheraton Wall Center Hotel in downtown Vancouver. It was minutes before the United States women's national soccer team returned to the hotel from a yoga session. Vancouver was hosting the CONCACAF Olympic qualifying tournament for women, and world soccer bigwigs were also staying at the hotel. It's a miracle no one else got injured. Meanwhile, police continue to investigate the January 13th death of innocent bystander 15-year-old Alfred Wong. He was caught in the crossfire between drug dealer Kevin Whiteside and another shooter near the Indochine restaurant on Broadway. If you have any information, contact the Vancouver Police or Crime Stoppers. And you can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send us an email. The email address is bob@thebreaker.news. Well, that's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of January 28th, 2018. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. That's bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the free email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information on supporting The Breaker, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.